You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. So, businessman Elon Musk, who says he doesn't believe in censorship, and who also happens to be the richest man in the world, has made a deal to buy the very influential social media platform Twitter. And leftist true believers and anti-white zealots are spitting and raging that they won't be able to shut down racially conscious whites anymore. In very guarded language, Twitter's former longtime boss, Jack Dorsey, is hinting that he supports Musk and deplored the censorious regime that he, in fact, presided over. Very strange. Twitter's board was frantic to keep Musk at bay one day, then unanimously accepted his purchase of the company the next day. Stranger yet. No one knows for sure if Musk will succeed in taking the company private. But there are some things we do know. We do know that Musk once gave an interview in which he seemed a lot less concerned with free speech than he has been lately, saying, quote, "Twitter should match the laws of the country," close quote, which, considering all the countries in which the platform operates, and considering that right here in the U.S., the Department of Homeland Security, under the Jew Alejandro Mayorkas, is setting up a new disinformation governance board, may mean something close to zero free speech on racial matters. I do wonder how stupid our enemies have to be to give the Disinformation Governance Board a name like that. It sounds like they're the source and managers of all the disinformation out there, which probably isn't too far from the truth. Maybe they're rubbing our faces in it. As one wit put it, the same people who tell us that men can get pregnant want the power to stop misinformation. The Disinformation Governance Board will be headed by Nina Jankowicz, a millennial who is married to someone named Michael Stein and who has been rapidly ascending the ladder of establishment endorsement and visibility after serving in the post-coup Jewish government of Ukraine in 2016. Global fellowships, op-eds and puff pieces in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and a lot more. By the way, Mayorkas, who likes to masquerade as being a Cuban, is neither Cuban nor Spanish, but a descendant of Jews who were resident in Romania and the Ottoman Empire. We do know that Musk, who certainly could have paid for Twitter with his own money, made a sudden decision not to do so, and instead obtained loans to the tune of $25 billion from the likes of Morgan Stanley, Barclays Bank, Bank of America, and several more of the usual suspects. So, will Musk really have a free hand once he becomes the owner? Did his submission to effectively partnering with our banker and merchant friends signal to Twitter's board that Musk would keep the platform safely in anti-white hands? I would say, time will tell, but this is America, the country where the real reasons for things are nearly always hidden, and the ostensible reasons are almost never the real reasons. So, time may tell is as far as I'm willing to go. The Jewish point of view on Musk's takeover bid, a twisted, contradictory Talmudic point of view, was expressed in an article posted at Israel Today, a publication intended mainly for Jews. The title and subtitle alone tell the story. Quote, Israel congratulates Elon Musk on acquiring Twitter, defending free speech. But Jewish state hopes the tech visionary and world's richest man can help stifle the growing anti-Semitism and incitement against Jews on social media. Close quote. What? How can you stifle people and at the same time defend free speech? Only a Jew could originate such a thought or have the effrontery to parade it in public. The Israel Today piece quotes a tweet from Yoaz Hendel, the Jewish state's communications minister, who said, quote, Congrats to Elon Musk on reaching an agreement to acquire Twitter. Looking forward to a new era of free speech. Yet, no less importantly, we in Israel hope we can also recognize and combat anti-Semitism and incitement to violence against Jews and the State of Israel on social media swiftly and when it happens. It's a matter of life and death. Close quote. That, my friends, is how Jews think. Of course, there are a lot of corollary thoughts of theirs that they don't like to expose in public. The boss of the crime-linked Jewish ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, says he's worried about Musk buying Twitter. He spoke to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, quote, Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt on Monday warned that Elon Musk's $44 billion acquisition of Twitter could lead to a rise in anti-Jewish extremism. We know firsthand that hate and extremism in digital spaces can lead to physical violence, particularly against Jews and other marginalized communities, Greenblatt said. Twitter has made some strides in tackling this hate in recent years. So while we want to be cautiously optimistic about how Elon Musk will run the platform, he hasn't demonstrated any focus on these issues to date. We worry he could take things in a very different direction, he added. Greenblatt noted that, as a private company, Twitter will lack the transparency and accountability of a public firm. Close quote. Greenblatt went on to rant about this being a sad day for democracy. Quote, It strikes me as deeply troubling and potentially dangerous that two people, Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, essentially control the public square. Seems like a sad day for democracy. Close quote. Zuckerberg is the racially disloyal Jew, married to an Asian, who owns Facebook. Funny, isn't it, that Greenblatt was well pleased with censorious Twitter and thought that their lack of transparency and accountability was just fine as long as his friends were in charge. Back to the Haaretz piece, quote, In its 2021 online anti-Semitism report card, the ADL noted Twitter earned the highest ranks for data accessibility through their application programming interface that enables researchers to study the prevalence of anti-Semitism on the platform. It also noted, however, that Twitter had not taken action on content ADL reported through ordinary user channels, though it did so through its Trusted Flagger program. Close quote. Good Lord, it's never enough for the Jews. The lesson here is that Jews don't care about free speech, though they will pretend to do so when necessary, to advance their self-interested agenda. It's becoming more and more obvious. Before they came to full power in this country, though, they were the ones screaming loudest for free speech, for communists and race mixers and pornographers and perverts. That was when they were trying to displace the old white establishment with themselves and take over our beloved America. Now that they have their power, now that they have taken over, free speech is something they hate very much. They don't want anyone who criticizes or even points out their extremely dangerous and totally illegitimate power over us, to be allowed to speak. In truth, they don't want us breathing air. Thus, their increasingly obvious campaign to eliminate the white race. They pretended to befriend sincere free speech advocates, classical liberals and the like, back in the last century. But the Jews are no one's friends. They'll ditch you in an instant, 5 milliseconds after it becomes to their advantage to do so. Last year, a Jew named Leonard Milberg produced an art exhibit featuring, among other things, a couple of 19th century Jewish artists, Theodor Moisy and Moses Ezekiel, who also happened to have been Confederate soldiers. Princeton canceled the show, after a firestorm of protests, much of it from other Jews. Milberg wrote that, quote, Ezekiel, who fought in the Confederate Army as a teenager with his Virginia Military Institute classmates, also sculpted the Confederate Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery, close quote. Interestingly, Ezekiel, with talent rare for a Jew, created art very much in the Aryan tradition of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, very unlike the modern anti-art that Jews produced and promoted, starting just a few years later and still continuing today. Jews were quite prominent in the Confederacy. Jews were fully integrated into the business and governmental establishments of the Old South. They acted and portrayed themselves as fully on the side of white Southerners in keeping the feral black population under control. When the first Ku Klux Klan Night Riders were fighting off the depredations of blacks and the anti-white military dictatorships imposed on the South under Reconstruction, Jews were among Klan leaders and officials. As I noted on this program in 1995, with reference to Jewish whistleblower Benjamin Friedman, quote, Benjamin H. Friedman was born in 1890, and by an ironic twist of fate, the delivering physician at his birth was Dr. Simon Baruch, the father of arch-conspirator against America, Wall Street speculator and advisor and handler of U.S. presidents from World War I to 1965, Mr. Bernard M. Baruch. Close quote. Interestingly, the elder Baruch was a surgeon in the Confederate Army. When prominent Jew and B'nai B'rith official Leo Frank was arrested in Atlanta as the rapist and murderer of a 13-year-old child laborer, Mary Fagan, in 1913, the Jews directing Frank's legal team mounted a defense that hoped to utilize the all-white jury's low opinion of blacks in an effort to get a not guilty verdict for Frank. They tried to frame two blacks, Newt Lee and Jim Conley, for the crime, freely calling it a, quote, nigger crime, unquote, in court, and even browbeating a witness over his ability, quote, to smell a Negro, close quote. But the ploy didn't work. The jury, aware as they doubtless were of Negro criminality, and as pro-Jewish as most Southern Christians still are, was nevertheless fair and honorable, and convicted the obviously guilty Frank, basing their decision partly on the testimony of a black who worked under Frank. I believe that their failure to get their man off by cashing in their friend of the white man chips in the Leo Frank case was a turning point for Jews. After due consideration, they decided to switch sides. And an examination of Jewish activities shows them increasingly, then totally, proclaiming themselves to be allies of non-whites in their efforts to take power and wealth and ultimately even life away from whites. I think one motive in closing down the exhibition featuring the Confederate Jewish artists is that in the disgusting age of Floyd, they don't want the Jews' former association with the old white supremacist establishment given too much publicity, showing too many folks that Jews switch sides whenever it seems good for Jews to do so, is a bad look in 2022. Right now, Jews are mostly delighted with their alliance with the blacks and browns, who they use as a weapon against whites. But you may be sure that when the moment is right, the Jews will toss their allies to the wolves as soon as they see a benefit for Jews in doing so. They are no one's friends.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people, 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like man and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. and they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every National Socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National Socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a book. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.